Genesis chapter 30, verses 27 through 36. But Laban said to him, "If it now pleases you, stay with me. I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account." He continued, "Name your wages and I will give it." But he said to him, "You yourself know how I served you and how your cattle have fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased to a multitude, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" So he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, I love this, you shall not give me anything. That's one worth underlining too. "If you will do this one thing for me, I will again pasture and keep your flock. Let me pass through your entire flock today, removing from there every speckled and spotted sheep, and every black one among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled ones among the goats, and such will be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come concerning my wages. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the black among the lambs, if found with me, will be considered stolen." And Laban said, "Good, let it be according to your word." So he removed on that day the striped and the spotted male goats, and all the speckled and the spotted female goats, everyone with white on, and all the black ones among the sheep, and gave them into the care of his sons. And he put a distance of 3 days between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. So let's get the picture here. Jacob has already served 14 years for Rachel and Leah. All right? He's now got his sons. He's ready to go home. The core of the family is built. He goes to Laban. He says, "Look, I want to leave." And Laban says, "No." And one of the reasons he says no is in verse 27. He says, "For I have divined." Let me tell you something about Laban. He is a sorcerer. Okay? The information passed down about Laban is that Laban is an expert in the occult. This is hard for us to get a hold of, because in our modern day Western mindset, we want to take things of the occult and say that they don't exist, that nothing happens. But the reality is, there are things, there are forces in this world that can be tapped into that are not intended for our use, but some people know how to get into them. And that's the occult practices. And in fact, the entire ancient East was considered a source of that knowledge. You remember the wise men, the magi that came from the East? Some believe that they may have been Jewish rabbis. Others believe that they may have been occultists who understood these things. Either way, it is important for you to understand, because this point's going to come up, that Laban is an expert in the magical arts. And it is a knowledge that he is going to pass down to one of Israel's future enemies, because the prophet Balaam is his grandson. Balaam is the guy that will be brought out, who will make who will try to curse Israel, but instead it will flip around and it will bless Israel. So, just to show you just how cruddy Jacob or Laban really is, Jacob goes through and he says, whatever is speckled and spotted is going to be mine, and whatever is solid, white or black, that's going to be yours. After the fact. Now, I think Jacob meant, right now, let's divide it up and that's mine. Laban says, fine, but he goes through, he takes all of the speckled, spotted, ringed, anything with multicolor out of the flock, segregates them, gives them to his son, and then it's, okay, starting now, everything that's born, speckled, spotted, or whatever, is yours, and anything after, and all the solids are mine. Well, guys, animals have the same genetic laws that we do, and you bear your parents' resemblance, your skin color, etc., because of the genetic makeup and characteristics of your family. If you remove all of that genetic makeup from the pool, what are the odds that you're going to get speckled, spotted, ringed, etc.? Laban knew what he was doing, so he removes them, but then Jacob has a plan of his own, and quite honestly, the Bible doesn't say where he got this plan. You could speculate about it all night, but verse 37 tells us the plan. Then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white stripes in them, exposing the white which is in the rods. He set the rods which he had peeled in front of the flocks in the gutters, even in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, and they mated when they came to drink. So the flocks mated by the rods, and the flocks brought forth stripes speckled and spotted. Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban, and he put his own herds apart, and he did not put them in Laban's flock. Moreover, when the stronger of the flock were mating, Jacob would place the rods in the side of the flock in the gutters so that they might mate by the rods. But when the flock was feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger were Jacob's. And I love verse 43. So the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. All right. Now, this is one of those weird things in the scripture that you're just going, huh? Does this really work? You know, if I put a picture in front of me, you know, and my wife, will my child be Arnold Schwarzenegger? I mean, you know, if I don't understand this. But the idea is that basically he takes these stripped bars or these rods, places them in front of the animals, and they see the multicolored specks and spots in the rods, and that produces speckled, spotted, and ringed sheep and goats for Jacob. So, was it a miracle? I think so, but I'm not really sure, because it's just one of those weird things in Scripture that it doesn't give you a lot of insight on. But the sages go on, and they do suggest that there's a lesson about parenting and procreation here that's a little uncomfortable to discuss, but it has to do with purity in the marital relationship. And I'll let you fill in the blanks, but obviously I think the point is valid, that if that can occur in the life of animals, how much more in reasoning creatures like ourselves do we need to make sure that our relationships with our future husbands and wives are kept pure, okay? Because if there's impurity in your heart and in your soul, guys, you will pass that on and you will afflict the soul of your children. And we're right back to that critical issue of making sure you find a godly mate. I can't stress it too much, but this is a little awkward, so we'll go on. What I do know is this. The birth of Joseph, the tribe that's going to become a multitude of peoples of varying color, is the prime motivator of Jacob's heart. Remember Joseph and his coat of what? Many colors. Later on, we're going to discover that's Joseph's family who's going to go into the nations and become a family of multiple colors. All right? There's a connection here. We'll come back to it later on in Genesis. This is also going to create a spiritual reality that exists today. Notice Joseph comes on the scene, and what happens with Jacob? He immediately starts getting blessed. His flocks begin to multiply, and what immediately happens after that? Genesis chapter 31, verses 1 and 2. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father, he has made all his wealth. Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. Immediately after the blessing increases, what also increases? The jealousy of the nations. And guys, we've talked about this when we first started talking about Jacob and Esau. Everything you see in terms of political conquest and conflict in the world today is ultimately a byproduct of this jealousy over the blessing of Jacob. And it's a struggle for that blessing.